My name's Sean Collier. There's Aaron Kleiber.
I'm here.
And we're joined once again by past and future guest Chris Preksta. There he is.
Hello. That sounded like you were the past and future ghost of podcasting.
Star Wars, yeah. I come and I show you old Star Wars and new Star Wars and Star Wars yet to come.
You are the ghost of a character that we haven't met yet, being re-edited into the Clone Wars cartoon, Chris Preksta. And we're here to talk to you at last about The Last Jedi. And if you thought that this would be another place that you go for universal acclaim, apparently it's not going to be. More on that this week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. The guys would love it if you would subscribe and rate and review the podcast. It only would take a minute. Just write a few words. Doesn't have to be 400 words like Sean's movie reviews. If you like an episode, share it. It's like the easiest thing ever. Just don't do it during a movie because like that's rude. You can catch me on Add It Up with Your Best Friend Addie interviewing musicians and comics and basically anybody I find entertaining. And we tackle a different topic every episode. So come and laugh along with us.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for, whenever you're listening to
it's
this.
It's whenever.
Tuesday, December 29th. Not December 29th. Yeah, December whatever. 19th.
December-ish. 52nd, 2049.
It is the year one after the movie came out. I don't know. We're here. As with Rogue One and The Force Awakens,
we waited. It's an odd week for us.
Yeah, it's a weird week, but not only that, you know, the one thing you can trust with new Star Wars movies is pretty much everybody goes to see them the first 3 days.
Yeah.
Rogue One being the one that didn't make much money at only $155 million in the first weekend.
It's always bizarre when you see someone online post like, don't post any spoilers because I'm not going to get to see it till next week.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how is your entire month schedule not planned around a Star Wars movie?
Yeah. I swear if you care about spoilers. I can
see
if you don't really
care.
That's
a huge nerdy comment.
Yeah. My wife in like September was like, what vacation days do I need to call off work? And I was like, well, Star Wars.
Yeah, that's the big one.
Yeah.
Our anniversary, if you can swing it,
but definitely Star Wars.
In my case, like, that's true. I mean, in my case, I'm on the road doing stand-up, so I'm gone for a certain amount of days.
Yeah.
Sean and I aren't going to phone cast, so...
Yeah, but you saw it, like, a day after.
Yeah, I saw it Friday.
You didn't, like, go to, like, the midnight screen.
No, I saw it Friday morning.
Opening weekend. I'm talking about people that are like, nobody talk about Star Wars for a week. I get no spoilers. I get
look,
it.
Look, I'm
not a spoiler guy, but...
I don't understand that, though. I don't understand, like, look, if you really, really don't want spoilers, like, what are you doing that weekend?
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
Not everybody can get to a movie, I guess.
But are you that busy between Wednesday and Sunday?
It's weird because
people right now are grabbing their hair. And they're like, are you kidding me? Yeah. I work two jobs.
Well, yeah, no, especially, and that's one point. This time of year, especially if you're a retail worker, no, you did not have the time. For a lot...
We don't have any other hobbies besides...
I mean, I like wrestling.
But, like, consuming entertainment
playing
video games.
That's true.
That's about what the
three
of us
do. Somebody else that had a lot of tennis to play this weekend.
Right.
I don't know.
We're not in a Pittsburgh sports league.
And I do want to encourage people. I think a lot of people say, I couldn't get out. And what they mean is they couldn't get a bunch of their friends together Friday or Saturday night. Hey, go to the movies by yourself on Sunday morning.
I go to movies by myself all
the time. You know what? It's better. I'm just going to throw that out there. It's a little bit better.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm so used to it going in the when I'm traveling and I'm just by myself in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Going to a movie by myself at noon. It's the best.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're coming to you a little bit late. Back to our normal schedule.
But we're giving everyone
Friday.
A chance to kind of see it, too. That's what we like about it.
And to clarify off the top, we're going to talk briefly, probably only for 15 minutes or so without spoiling anything.
Yeah.
If you are still waiting but wanted to listen, you got about 15 minutes here where we're going to give you our general reactions. I don't mean like... We're not going to speak in code. Like, we might reveal, like, hey, Luke is in this one. You know, we'll get to that. But then we will make you well aware when we're going to, at a certain point in this podcast, we are going to speak freely and talk about anything.
Right.
Because you have to.
Yeah. There's no other way to do it.
These are the conversations that everybody is having after seeing it.
As I look and see that there are 30 Star Wars Legos to my right that I didn't even notice.
Not even planned.
It's just, that's just how things are at the Kleiber Ranch.
At the Kleiber Farm, we have Star Wars stuff laying everywhere. We have a bucket. We have a bucket of lightsabers.
Yes.
Like, you know,
I think that's episode 9.
Yeah. Star Wars episode 9.
Bucket O lightsabers.
Would
bucket
not light be surprised. Surprised.
Yeah. Bucket O apostrophe
lightsabers. Yeah.
Well, let's, so here's the spoiler-free general reactions.
Yes.
And we're going to let the guest go first. Chris, certainly a lifelong Star Wars fan.
Well, let's, are we going to just, like, should we ease into it? Or
what do you
just
mean?
Like, what up? Because, I mean, do we just want to go right at it?
I want to keep it short and the spoiler-free part. So just give us,
just
we're going to go
right
around
at,
the couch.
Right. Okay, no problem.
Tell us about your journey.
I'm glad that we're doing
with
this
The Last Jedi.
A couple days after it.
Like, yes.
Uh-huh.
If this had been my walk out of the theater reaction, it probably would have been a bit too harsh or a bit more potent than it really needs to be. Because you always need time. You, honest to goodness, need time when you walk out of a Star Wars movie, because they just carry so much cinematic weight, and you know they really are kind of the American mythology, the American you know, our King Arthur, our, you know, our Zeus.
You know, I just got a little bit emotional in my heart that this is the first Star Wars movie I've not seen with you.
Oh, get out. This is true.
I've seen every single premiere with you.
Yeah. Since Phantom Menace.
Since Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
When I skipped high school.
And we slept outside for tickets.
And slept outside.
I remember
that. We'll find that video somewhere.
You know, the only thing people are doing that for anymore is sneakers.
Yeah.
The
I will say
days.
I also did. We did note the advancements in movie going since Phantom Menace. We did not have to sleep out for tickets.
Yeah.
We did not have to get in line for our seats.
Right.
You know, everything was done
reserved.
Online. And so just the being able to just show up to a theater.
That's better.
But Phantom Menace, we were outside playing Monopoly with a bunch of nerds at 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, and watching people lightsaber fight at 6 a.m.
And then
in a parking lot.
By 4 o'clock the next day, a dude was selling VHSs of Phantom Menace out of the back of his van.
Yeah.
So Last Jedi, I'll say this. First off, Force Awakens, you know, I walked out of Force Awakens loving a giant portion of it, but the end of that movie was so shocking to me that I walked out of that film so angry that it took me 24, 48 hours before I could settle down and see it with fresh eyes again, and then grew to love the whole thing. And then I finally was like, okay, I get it. I get why this
I should
have
watched that again.
I did the night before,
and it was
actually a mistake to do that.
I watched Rogue One more with my kids. I don't know why they like the
It's a standalone. It's
a nonstop SWAT team movie.
But yeah, it's a it has the beginning, middle, and the end.
Yeah,
it's just
a great B movie.
It's Star Wars the A-Team.
And the best
that's what I like about it.
Space battle, I believe, anyways. Last Jedi, the best way and the most concise way I can put this is that Last Jedi is a meal that I did not like from a restaurant I love and a chef I really like. I'll be back to that restaurant. I will still eat things from that chef, but this was one meal that just didn't sit right with me.
I don't have anything else to say. That's the perfect example.
Despite me wanting it to, despite me, you know, kind of hanging in there throughout that whole movie and just kept waiting and kind of hoping that I was going to connect with it.
Like, you're like, I should have got the cheeseburger. They said, try the special.
And
I
now,
did.
Days later, I just find myself bummed out. Like, I'm just bummed out that I don't get to be with the group of people that unabashedly love this thing. I kind of hate that I'm, you know, I hate that I fall on the side of like, oh man, it just didn't sit well with me. As far, you know, in the pantheon of Star Wars, this one really, really, that meter is really leaning close to prequel quality for
me.
Oh,
wow. Okay.
Versus the, you know, original trilogy or Force Awakens and Rogue One. Mm. It's really leaning the other way for me, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
In my eyes.
Yeah.
I know that Aaron is chomping at the bit. It's chomping.
Honestly,
champing at the bit. Chomping.
I think Go Chris ahead. Put it perfectly.
Okay.
Well, we've talked about it a little bit beforehand. Uh-huh. I mean, it's there is, there's prequel qualities in this Last Jedi.
Wow.
That really just. Well, the spoiler part of this episode.
Yeah, that's where it's going to get interesting.
We'll really unpack this a lot more because it's hard. I'm trying to articulate myself. I'm not sitting here like I'm high or something.
Mm-hmm.
There were scenes that had George Lucas' name been on it.
Yeah.
Fans would have been, oh, here we are with more of these prequel stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
And it simply felt like the fact that it was Rian Johnson's name instead.
Right.
These scenes are given a pass or just appreciated more. I don't want to read too much into it, but that's at least how it feels a little bit. There were certainly scenes where I was like, you could take that scene and put that in any of the prequels, and it would have felt in line with that.
Absolutely.
It would have felt in tone with them.
There are things in this that are... You know, what The Force Awakens did well and what Rogue One did well is that they felt like the Star Wars universe. And even when George Lucas made the prequels, it was still his universe, but he came out with a bunch of ideas that he thought that he could bridge into another generation that just didn't work, I don't think. It just were not good. This definitely had Star Wars universe feels to it in some scenes. And then the other, it was just, for me, after I thought about it, instead of just being like, these scenes are so dumb, I felt bummed, like Chris said, because I'm like, it's over. It's over for us. Like the 30 and 40-year-olds who love Star Wars, it's over. Like it's not ours anymore.
But aren't there?
I don't think it's ours
there,
anymore.
Aren't there equally, if not more, 34-year-olds that love this movie? So not over.
I saw a couple. Yeah, I saw a couple. Yeah, and maybe
that's a bold statement saying it's over. That for you, anyways, that you feel like it's over for you.
I mean, we're still gonna go, but I think that, and we'll get into it in the spoiler section. I think there are blatant scenes telling us to it's over for you. I really do. I think there are, I mean, purposefully written things in that film to say, this is not the Star Wars that you grew up with anymore. Move along. I really do.
Well, all
right. I think, and Rian Johnson has actually said that.
He said that,
move along.
This
is not the Star Wars you were looking for. And he's talking to us.
To provide
the older fans that grew up with it.
The counterpoint, that thing you just said
is
the first thing you've said that even makes any sense to me. Like that statement, this is not the Star Wars you grew up with. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Because we've had the Star Wars we grew up with. What, do you want to just keep doing it forever?
No, it's a more of a bubbly statement, you know, but what I mean is that I feel like, there are rules of a universe.
Yeah, this is going to have to be more in the spoilers.
This is definitely in the spoilers. Yeah. There's a certain for a film series, there's a tone, there's rules, there's, you know, when people talk about horror, we talk about horror movies so much.
Sure.
It's like, you can't do that in werewolf movies. That's stupid. You know, or you can't do this in a Dracula movie because that doesn't make any sense. These are the rules. Like, I think tone and you look at like, If they, you know, remade, you know, Back to the Future or people talking about, you know, Ghostbusters, or I think that there are things that that you just kind of, you can't mess with a formula that works.
I sure you can, especially when
sure you can,
especially when there's been 7-8 movies. It's
sure.
like, well, you better mess with the formula. Or now that's
I just it. I okay.
I mean, I haven't hold. Let me just tell you where I'm coming from a little bit more, just to give my reaction before we get into the weeds. When I say what the way that you're both describing it is almost enough to make me go like, did they show the critics the secret good movie?
That's how
and
I
you
feel.
You guys saw the other
I
one?
I literally feel like I saw a different movie than the rest of the world.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I
had a friend on Facebook going on and on, no joke, said that this is his favorite Star Wars movie ever made.
Multiple people
yeah, this is
that, yeah.
very cl- I mean,
and I honestly, I'm gonna flat out, you're insane.
Oh no, I think you've lost your damn mind.
I didn't think this country could get any more divided.
Yeah, here we are.
A Star Wars movie is the final.
My
crack.
Reaction when I my reaction walking out
to
of the
say this is one of the best ones is like I'm like, why, huh?
My reaction.
You know, the movie as a whole to be a good film should be good most of the time.
Yes, and that's because
just
it absolutely
because a whole, film is good 60% of the time doesn't mean
no,
it's a top 10 film of the year.
60% of the time.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
No. Okay. I walked out of the theater and thinking, you know, that was a very fun Star Wars experience in all the ways that I like Star Wars, in having great characters, in having adventure in mysterious places, in introducing some of these off the wall sci-fi elements. I walked out just feeling pretty kind of generally positive. And the more I thought about the themes of this
you're
movie.
You're not a huge Star Wars fan.
I mean,
like before, I was surprised you haven't seen.
I haven't
Attack
seen
of the
episodes
Clones
two or three
or Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, right,
you're probably better off.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
But he saw Phantom Menace though, so that kind
the
of
more, the more, the cool. more. Well, because I saw Phantom Menace, I was like, well, I don't need any more of this. and
good call.
You know, at 14 or whatever,
it
but,
got it got better by like a
I've
four
heard
degree
that.
Angle.
I've heard that.
Like it rose by 4 degrees.
But and
like,
and when I
hill.
Started really like taking time and reflecting on the themes of this movie and kind of the emotional core of this movie and what was really happening there, it elevated in my mind to not just a fun Star Wars experience, but a very very good movie. Not in my top 10 because I'm not, you know, I'm not really nuts for them, but. You know, legitimately a movie that I to skip to the rating gave a 9 out of 10 and would never go any lower than that. And you know, it's not, you know, Empire Strikes Back being the kind of singular achievement. That's obviously the best Star Wars movie. And I think the original is nearly as good. Other than that, I don't think there's a better Star Wars movie than The Last Jedi. It certainly, to me, was better than Phantom Menace or Rogue One and probably better than Return of the Jedi.
It does.
I got nothing. I can't.
Really
what you just
like
said.
Saw different movies. Here's
I just.
I
don't
understand.
I
could be wrong. I could be wrong.
We need to go straight to no spoilers because I don't know
what.
Well,
to say and I can say what I'm, you're going to say, yeah. And then I actually spent the weekend kind of studying where the reactions are coming from, and I think can shed a little bit
so
of light.
This
but
might
go
be,
ahead.
This
oh, me
might
too.
Be.
I've read a bunch of articles too, and I'm like, okay, that makes sense. That doesn't mean it's a good film. Like, that's what I don't understand.
Here's
is
what I think it could be happening, and I can only speak personally. I can't speak for large swaths, and I do not read what fans are saying on Twitter. I don't do those deep dives.
I don't either. I've read
less.
A couple,
like
no, big articles.
Yeah. I think that although I think it's incorrect to say that this film does bold, new things, because I'm hard-pressed to find anything really bold or new in this that hasn't been done in a previous Star Wars film.
Or in previous...
But
all the
what
sci-fi
say,
and fantasy movies that are coming out that are kind
of
not
the,
great.
One of the massive changes in this film is in its tone,
mm-hmm.
And which I don't blame Star Wars for doing new things. Please do new things.
Yeah, do new
because,
things.
Like it's gonna get stale watching the same thing over and
sure,
over.
Sure, yeah,
and
absolutely.
I you know bold and new and fresh and all that stuff.
No,
the
when,
tone
and
of
I, over here, I didn't say anything about all the new things in Force Awakened.
But
no,
like,
you didn't.
I thought it was very good.
Yeah, no, yeah, we were on the same page.
I'm okay with new things.
I think one of the bigger changes in tone in this is that the amount and type of humor. Not that there is humor. You know, all Star Wars has had humor.
You're starting to address now the tone of Star Wars.
Yes, like
yes.
All Star
like
Wars
the
has
formula,
had humor in it.
The,
has
yeah.
had has poked fun at moments and poked fun
right.
and not taken itself too serious. This amplifies that by about 2,000%.
Yeah.
So all the subtlety of the humor, for me, is kind of stripped away, and it's just these blatant hit you, and they just keep going. So there'd be like these there'd be moments of humor that would just keep going, and I'm like, we're still doing this joke? Hold on, I'm gonna finish the sentence, or I'll finish the thought and be done.
Yeah.
I think that if you connected with those moments, the film keeps you, and those and the later emotional moments affect you. Mm-hmm. I think if, like me, certain tonal moments just kept pushing me away from the film.
Yes, I agree.
So the things that might have been emotionally effective later had no effect on me because I, like, the movie had pushed me away.
Yeah.
And so there's people talking about scenes, tearing up and getting real emotional, and I'm like, I get – while watching it, I was like, I get that this is supposed to be emotional, but I'm completely apathetic at this point.
Yeah, because
so
I don't know why
it feels like because we were emotionally seeing two different films.
Yeah, because it was hard to understand when I was supposed to be afraid or when I was supposed to be like, because then they would just, you know, there's no spoilers here, but the, you know, all of a sudden it would there'd be a fart noise and I'd be like, wait, I thought this was serious. I don't understand what's happening.
I should stipulate that, like, I actually almost agree with the point about the humor. There were moments of humor that I loved and laughed at. Mm-hmm. There were also a few moments where I was like, this seems out of place.
Right.
That more than anything is what kept it from being a 10 for me. There were misstep moments in the humor that pulled me away from the movie a little bit. This isn't I'm going to make the executive decision that this isn't a spoiler because it's so early in the movie, but there's a moment with Poe
and Hux.
And Hux that was just not the kind was like early gag in a Marvel movie humor that was, you know, maybe nominally funny, but was just like, this is weird in a Star Wars movie.
And it was a style of joke that they had done as one to two lines in Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And it goes on for legitimately 30 to 40 seconds in this movie. And suddenly you're like, they're really still on this joke?
Yeah. No, like, they're in one of the reviews I wrote, I was like, this isn't a perfect movie. There are some moments of attempted humor that lean a little bit too much in the Marvel style. Like, that's not even something I can argue
but
with.
But even
you about.
That, even that.
That's, and that you wrote that. That was spot on. Yeah. That was like.
And even that initial joke.
It's like, you're
not
Guardians. Relax.
To go like, oh, this is awful. It's like, it was one joke. I was like, okay, one joke didn't sit well with me. You have enough moments like that pile up, and pretty soon you've been backed
there's
away
things
from
like, I mean, that's the kind of stuff where I'm like, oh, yeah, now there's this huge, 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 huge multiple studio conglomerate that owns Star Wars now. It doesn't it doesn't end at five people. So when someone, the same company who owns Marvel, owns Star Wars now, they're going to say, hey, these jokes kill in Guardians. And so they're going to go, okay, well, we're going to put them in this now.
Yeah, I
can't
argue
exactly
with that
what
part.
Happened.
Yeah,
and it
was
who knows? Who knows the behind the scenes of it?
Oh gosh!
Here's before we go to the spoiler version. I want to get your thoughts on this generally. You know, I looked at any number of critics, aggregators, and individual reviews, cinema scores, some of the money stuff, some of the hard numbers stuff, not the like, go online and vote. Like, stop talking to me about the tomato meter fan score. Like, there are scientific polls of audience reactions
that
you can
didn't
go.
Even know that existed until people started saying, like, it's low.
So,
like, I didn't even know that existed.
Here's what happened. The critical response has been really, really positive, including from hard critics, including, like, this is a New York Times critics pick. Those are hard to get. It got a B+ from the AV Club. They're very stingy. That's a very good rating for them. These are not, Entertainment Weekly. Not to put down Entertainment Weekly. They do good work. But what I'm saying is these are not friendly critics. The hard critics and the normal critics pretty much universally liked this movie. The person a little bit more like me who likes to go to the theater once a year and have some Star Wars fun seem most of that audience just seems to have had a good time and liked the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, I've Force One, War Awakens, and I've watched all of those once the first time in the theater, and then I move on with my life for the next year. The casual fan, let's say, seems to have liked it. Within the Star Wars diehard community, that's where there's a split.
I wouldn't even say there's a Star Wars diehard. Like, you're talking about, like, there's not some, like, small. It's a very, very,
oh, that's
very
a lot of people.
Large group of
that's
people.
That's a lot of people.
This is probably 40% of the people that saw the movie.
I mean, they get.
I mean, you're really over it.
Okay,
I mean,
25%.
I mean, there's a lot of people who would say, I'm a Star Wars diehard, and that means they have a T-shirt. Like, I'm talking about people who have Star Wars in their heart, like the two of you.
Sure.
Then there's a divide. I know plenty of those people who did love this movie.
Yeah.
But there is a large segment of very serious fans who weren't happy with this. And that's really strange. I can't name another big property that put out a movie that critics loved, but some of the very serious fans didn't like. I can't name another time that this has ever happened. And I wonder why that is. Why something about being someone who has always carried Star Wars in your heart made people dissatisfied with this movie.
Well, I think there's, like
well,
I said
we're
before,
tell you.
With Star Wars,
I mean, it's clear.
Really, we're in this odd position because Star Wars is like cinematic Beowulf. It's like cinema's version of old mythological text. It's like our first, like, sacred cinema, essentially. Like that,
it really
that
is. It's,
it
I mean, it was a blueprint for sci-fi,
it
for modern sci-fi.
Changed,
yeah.
It legitimately changed. It certainly changed cinema. It certainly changed American pop culture. It certainly changed global pop culture. Mm-hmm. It has had repercussions the world over. Look at the one reaction to one film across the world. And so it is very bizarre. In like, you know, take Beowulf for example, or take The Odyssey for example. These are works that are written by an author, and then that's it. Here's your story,
right.
And then it's held up, and then later on it can be played with, it can be adapted, it can be altered. People can do their own versions of it.
Reservoir Dogs live on stage with all women.
But the text,
happens.
The text of that of those mythological stories is locked and done.
That'd be fun.
Here. Our American mythology was started by an author. You had three films started by
named
an author.
Akira Kurosawa. Go on.
true. But even Beowulf,
sure.
You know,
it's what makes it big, not where it comes from.
So
yeah.
So you have actually six films, not just three. You have six films that are authored, you know, generally by a core group of people, directed by large, like spearheaded by one man, but a core group of people essentially create this thing. Now your mythology is in the hands of a major international corporation. And so it is bizarre to me. We're in this weird spot where the fate of Luke Skywalker is in the hands of fans and a corporation. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm saying it's bizarre.
You're saying that explains this.
I was kind of saying reaction. In that in a way where it's now it's not George Lucas and his team of people who know him inside and out. You know, when you work with a filmmaker like that, you know them.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know that's how you're able to write with someone or direct with somebody. It's not George Lucas and his team and his heart anymore.
It would be interesting to see how hardcore Harry Potter fans would feel if they sold Harry Potter and J.K. Rowling didn't write seven new books.
Oh.
And seven new books.
Yeah, that's a good
different
point.
Author.
No, that's a good
point. There was a different
author point.
For every book. You'd have hardcore Harry Potter fans go, that doesn't feel like
no,
Harry
that's
Potter.
No, that's already happening. I mean, that when that eighth, there's not an eighth book, when that play came out, there's a Harry Potter play on the West End, and she was involved, but she's not the author. And a lot of fans say this isn't canon. This doesn't count.
Yeah. Well,
so that's where you're at.
Now I don't know if I can say this in spoilers, but I mean, if I should say this in spoilers or not. I mean, what you're talking about is kind of like I'll save it for like a final point where what I think is happening.
Yeah. All right.
And it does involve George Lucas.
Well, then let's get into, because I want to respond to that. I can't do it without like 80 spoilers.
Yeah.
So this is where we're going to say the word spoiler 18 times. From this point on, this spoiler heavy podcast will spoil major plot details up to and including the finale of Star Wars The Last Jedi. There are spoilers. Now, in case
at 28 around 28 minutes, I'll remember that. I'll put it in the description.
In case you heard that and you went to pause the thing and you knocked the phone on the floor and you're driving down the highway, just to buy you a little extra time, Aaron Kleiber will now hum the Cantina song for an additional 20 seconds. Now Imperial March.
Duel of Fates. Right. Battle of Yavin 4.
Yeah. Ewok Song of Celebration.
Which one?
Yep. the Yub Yub one.
I think Chris and I, we probably did this back in 97 to make each other laugh.
Yeah.
By ourselves eating snack cakes.
20 years ago.
One of my
ago.
Favorite Family Guy Star Wars jokes is when the Cantina band's playing and the guy's like, play that same song. I'm like, okay.
Oh, that was so. Shout out to some of our friends at Arcade, Jesse Ellie and everyone he got together for the Arcade Star Wars, because they
I heard it was
amazing. They did a behind the music for the Cantina band video. Goodness. And yeah.
And it's funny that you speak of, that we bring up, you know, Family Guy Star Wars, because I'm like, there's legitimate moments in Last Jedi that felt like Family Guy Star Wars.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Well, to your
point.
It
felt like the movie was spoofing itself as it was happening.
To your point, and this is how I'll get into it, you know,
should we rate it for people that don't want to hear spoilers?
It's too late. They already turned it off. You know, that those original movies are this grand mythology. Part of the point of this.
And including Force Awakens.
And including Force Awakens. Force Awakens' job was to set us up for this in a lot of ways. I think this is why
we talking spoilers yet.
Yeah,
because way to waste that movie.
That's why Yoda had
we're
to
gonna set all this shit
you
up
know
and knock it all away.
Luke is
what a waste of time.
Luke is agonizing over the fate of this mythology as represented in the story, and Yoda shows up and essentially goes, "Fuck it, who cares?" And that's when I went, oh, okay, now we're getting interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's, that's back there.
This is spoilers.
Yeah,
spoilers,
we're going to have those movies forever. We're making new movies now.
Okay.
We have to start telling new stories.
And this is spoilers. I love Yoda.
Yeah.
I love that part. I did.
Yeah.
I like the, like, hey, buddy, like, we have to start over.
Yeah.
Like, things are dire.
I have two thoughts. Maybe more than two, but I have a couple thoughts. A, I love that theme. I love that idea. I love the idea that, listen, we cannot be trapped by nostalgia.
There was some execution
We cannot
problems,
be trapped
but, yeah.
by these things. I get it. But, once again, it's the execution of that theme that kind of drives me bonkers.
I'm okay with starting over.
But in the same way, this is why I compare it to prequels. There are themes in the prequels that if you just state them, they're genius.
Yeah.
But the execution of them within the film themselves doesn't sit well. But then here's my further thought.
Metachlorians.
Here's my further thought.
Exactly.
Which is,
don't explain it. Don't explain what the Force is.
I agree.
I know I'm a little bit of a redundant, especially on this podcast. This is going to come redundant. They're going to be like, every time this guy's on, he talks about this. If the theme of the movie is the old needs to die, we need to stop carrying the legacies and nostalgia of these old things and get on with the new, stop making Star Wars movies. Lucasfilm, produce original Rian Johnson and J.J. Abrams films.
Yes.
Quit making them follow in the footsteps of George Lucas and let them make something new.
Well,
it's bizarre to me that they're like, we have to let the past die. We have to stop chasing these old things. But here's AT-ATs on a white planet attacking a rebel base again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Mm, yeah.
That I mean, I see it. I mean, you know, the very practical argument is then it doesn't make $220 million.
Yeah, true. Here's Emperor sitting on a throne while two Jedi fight in front of him, while red guys stand in the back and watch.
Oh, that's never happened.
I'm like, that's what I mean by say let's do new things, but that movie is filled with old things.
Yes.
We have a dark side. We have a Force-sensitive tree that a young Padawan goes into, and Yoda stands outside and looks at the tree. Training with an old Jedi. This thing is rife with things that happened in previous movies. That's why I'm shocked by Let the Past Die. Let's do new things. Let's do bold things. I honest to goodness, from someone that loved the movie, I want to know what's new, what's bold, because I flat out aside from the amount of humor, Luke Skywalker milking a cow and drinking it.
We can get specific.
I would love to know what's the new bold thing.
We'll get Pacific Ocean soon.
Yeah,
because I can't say specific.
Yeah,
but you're right. I think that. That's a great way to put it is, okay, it's like, oh, I'm okay with it being new, but it's like, it's the way that they're trying to do new. It's almost insulting to me. It's like, okay, you're saying you want to do new, but you're really just taking something old and kind of just, I feel like just kicking it to pieces.
I honestly don't even know what was new.
I can't even keep
saying this is a new Star Wars. I'm like, what was new about it?
I think that's.
You're laying that against eight movies.
Yes.
I think what's new is thematic and kind of where the emotional core of this movie comes from. The reason why I want it to still be Star Wars, not from a plot standpoint,
more from a theme standpoint.
Yes, exactly.
I'm
ripping somebody off here. I forget who said it.
There was definitely a theme that they tried to stick with A New Hope, like the origin of Star Wars, I believe.
What do you mean?
I think that theme of like a bunch of nobodies need to save the galaxy.
Oh, like, I don't think that's what this
that's
is about.
I think that's what it's about. I think they clearly said it's a bunch of nobodies, like a janitor and
that's what the plot is about. But what the movie is about
I'm talking about the underlying, like, this is how this gets done. They're kind of resetting that. It's starting over with a bunch of nobodies and no help and no hope.
Yes.
And Rey is the new hope.
Well... But to me, this is you know, at its core, a movie about the ideas of resistance and balance. This is no longer a movie about a series about good versus evil. It's a movie about achieving balance in a world that will always that has to have both of those things. Mm. And it's really interesting that. In these movies, it's not the rebellion anymore. It is the resistance. And so much of this movie is both about Ben trying to resist the call to light and Rey trying to resist the call of darkness. Mm-hmm. This is a movie, to me, that's all about this struggle towards the center. And Luke is in the middle there because Luke, at the beginning of this, essentially said, yeah, I'm out. There's too much pain in this to me. I'm going to sit in the middle and be done. And then these two forces on either of those poles show up with him in the middle. That's what's interesting to me. It's no longer a war movie. It's a movie about personal struggle.
Sure.
That's what's new to me, to answer your question.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that's new at all.
On paper.
To the Star Wars series.
No, I mean, that's the whole movie is there's always a character struggling to understand where his place is in the universe. Every movie has a character like that. Darth Vader is that character.
Maybe.
Luke was that character. Leia was that character. Han Solo was trying to figure out, like, should I be a good guy? I just want money. Everybody's always trying to find their kind of balance in the universe. Like, which side should I be on?
Well, and
you know what I mean? Like, that's always been the theme is who am I in this universe? You know what I mean?
And I think the answers to those questions are going to be different than they were before when it comes to Episode 9.
It will be interesting to see what they do with Episode 9 because Force Awakens felt like it was a giant reset button on the Star Wars universe to start building towards something new. This movie feels like that again.
Yes.
It feels like.
But it's worse.
It feels like they hit
like
the reset
I was
button.
Okay, so with resetting. Resetting was great.
It doesn't kind of.
Why
feel
are you
like,
resetting again?
It doesn't feel like there's.
I
like,
don't. I don't feel that there's a second reset in.
I think there
in
is
Last
completely.
Jedi.
I think there's a complete reset.
I mean, I look
Force
at
Awakens. Force Awakens.
Force
was
Awakens
the reset.
Is a New Hope. Is a remake of A New Hope.
But it was the reset. It was the, it was like,
yeah.
Here's the new people.
Yeah,
the
I
new
agree with. Yes, it is. Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Yes.
And in Last Jedi,
absolutely.
We begin dismantling what remains of the characters, the world, the circumstances of episodes 4, 5, 6, 7.
And that,
so
when
we
you
hand
say
it to the next
the word
generation.
Dismantled, it's yeah. ugly. That's ugly. That's an ugly dismantling.
No, it's not ugly. It's not ugly to me because I'm more interested in Rey and Finn than I am in Luke and Leia.
That's fine. So am I. Like, yeah. But dismantling that word. Think. I'm trying to articulate this. But it should not be dismantled.
Why?
It should be modified. Like when you then, dis when you take. Okay, that's the problem. You have this vehicle, this car, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to, you know, when someone soups up a classic car, it's still the same engine. It's still the. You're talking about taking a car, taking up. They basically said, we're going to shine up this car and we're going to add some new things to it. You might have
that
a CD.
That was episode 7, yes.
You might have a CD player in here now.
Yeah.
Okay. Then why did this one say it's a totally different car now?
I
and
think
remember that other crap
think,
in the car? It's dumb.
Because I think.
And that's what I felt like. I felt like I was kind of getting like spit on. I was like, geez.
Well,
like,
I
didn't have
it
that
showed,
similar reaction.
It showed some lack of like respect for like what Star Wars is to people.
Yeah, because Star Wars has to be something new now. It doesn't matter what it is to you. It's,
but you're just,
you're,
I mean,
you're in
it was
your
offensive
late 30s.
That they're just like, it's offensive.
Your mid-30s, I'm sorry.
It's offensive that they were just like, yeah, but we're just going to do what like the other movies are doing now, and we don't really care what Star Wars
well,
wants.
Okay, well, I agree with you about the comedy. Putting the comedy aside for a minute. How else is it capitulating? It seems like Rian Johnson, for all of the influence, had a lot of creative freedom on this and was kind
From
of free to tell his story.
In, it does look
it
that
does
way.
Look like that.
But
yeah.
I feel like you and I have a similar reaction to the movie, but I think maybe in different ways as well. Meaning, I'm not looking that this movie doesn't look like. To me, anyways, this movie doesn't look like they made a whole different car. It just means it looks like they took the same parts from a bunch of other
yes.
cars and
yeah.
tried to
yeah,
make
yeah,
the same
sure.
car.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just like, it's a bunch
yeah, you're,
of pieces,
you're right.
but
yeah.
they're not going together that
yeah.
well.
Yeah, that's a good
it just
point.
Doesn't,
yeah, yeah.
yeah, it's just
yeah,
it,
I can agree with that.
I'm arguing more the effectiveness of it to me personally.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I agree. I think when because for the whole year leading up to this movie, they've been talking about. You know, oh, this is going to be a different Star Wars, and Ryan's taking a bold approach, and they're going to.
Okay.
Like, and I kept thinking, like, awesome. Like, listen, Lucas. Well, when Lucas was making his original trilogy, he wasn't thinking, you know, like, well, listen, we have to be respectful to Star Wars.
Right.
You got to be bold. You have to change it up. His storytelling sensibilities were always weird, and they need to continue
yeah.
to be weird. Star Wars should be weird and quirky and try new things and be bold. Once again, I'm gonna, you know. Harboring a point here is, to me, I don't see the bold. I saw weird.
Yeah.
I don't see the bold new approach. I honestly, I'd argue that there was bolder approaches in the prequels. Like that they did crazier
yeah.
things
probably
in the
just in terms of like, well, this isn't what I
yeah.
expected. That probably
yeah.
is more
yeah.
than
yeah.
the prequels.
Maybe not thematically, but, you know, because I can't go back to, I don't know. If the themes in the prequels are good themes. Like he is.
Yeah.
You know, Lucas was going for nuanced politics, like that the fact that
mm-hmm.
politics are messy and lead to evil
yeah.
things. And, you know, he was tackling big, weighty subjects. He was unfortunately doing them with cartoon characters.
Right, right.
You know, but
in a movie that's supposed to make kids buy Happy Meals.
Right. Yeah, no. I'm,
and fake lightsabers.
Can I
haven't seen
it. And dress up for Halloween.
I know I've been fairly negative, so I at least want to
super
at least
negative.
Interject
yeah.
the things I love. Like,
okay.
Because there were moments in
sure,
this
absolutely.
That I like a lot and I did love. So I at least
Let's
like
run through
specific
them.
Moments. I loved, like, and this is funny because the two characters that I dislike the most in Force Awakens, the two that held me back from unabashedly really loving that movie the most were Snoke and Kylo Ren.
Hmm.
Like Kylo Ren,
I love Kylo Ren.
I liked him in the other one.
Yeah, that's
but
a good point.
But I kept thinking,
yeah.
I was just like, like,
there's something missing.
There was something missing
with him. Yeah.
Snoke, I flat out hated. I was like, you can.
No, one really liked
this
Snoke.
Snoke was kind of a throwaway thing in Force Awakens. I was like, what's going on with him?
In Last Jedi, my two favorite things in the entire movie are Snoke and Kylo Ren.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
Snoke was intimidating. And I can't believe they pulled it off with a CGI emperor. Like, he's the emperor again.
Yeah.
And he was still intimidating like the emperor and scary and whatnot. And I'm disappointed that he's gone. And I loved every scene in that throne room.
Every scene in that throne room.
I was like,
yeah, the throne room was the best scene.
I was in the movie again. Mm-hmm. Even though it was just a remake of Return of the Jedi. Yeah.
And it was, I thought it was pretty cool that we got there. I don't know if it, I mean, you got to see these Bushido warriors that were in the original concept art of New Hope.
Yeah.
Like those guys are in original concept art.
That samurai influence.
Yes.
Yeah. And
it's so dope.
Yeah.
I love, you know, everyone keeps saying Kylo Ren's not intimidating. No, I don't think he's intimidating. I don't care. He's a cool character in the sense that I love the idea of this child being torn by all these competing parental figures in his life.
Yeah, you're right, because you think of as a villain being this vile, mean, ugly, scary.
Yeah.
But what's really scary is messing with a dude's life.
Yeah.
Like his parents and his upbringing and
you have
ripping
Snoke,
him from... Yeah.
Han, Leia, and Luke all speaking into him as a parent. And that's one of the themes that
I loved about
Force Awakens.
We find out Luke wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
So the
we
don't know the truth.
Yeah.
Because they both told their side. But regardless, you have the person that your parents entrusted you to say, please go under his tutelage. And then this guy to him says, tries to kill me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's what makes him scary is that he's
Star
so.
Star Wars has always been about family, specifically parents. I'm like. You know, I love the idea that once again you have a similar journey with Rey, who doesn't know her.
Yeah,
parents,
where do you belong?
And then had Han as kind of a father figure for a day until he was cut down, and then has Luke as another curmudgeonly old father figure that doesn't want anything to do with her. So I love the idea that you have these kids that are struggling under the weight of these legacy parents.
Yes.
Which are interesting concepts.
Isn't it a really
started in
and
Force
it is
Awakens.
A really great concept that you have these heroes, these huge characters in this huge galaxy, and they're bad caretakers.
Bad dads.
They're bad parents.
Well, once again, Harrison Ford seems to be making the rounds of all his old. Of his old movies, and we're just finding out he was a terrible dad in every movie he ever was.
He's just a deadbeat dad.
Yeah.
And that's so. These are the things you liked about.
Those were the two things I liked the most. I will say, I'd have to rewatch the scene with Yoda because I remember in the moment loving the effects of Yoda, how they made. I don't know if he was actually a puppet or if
he was
CGI'd.
Yeah.
He was a hand operated
puppet.
Okay, that was rad to me, the fact that he looked and acted like he did in Empire.
Yeah.
It wasn't the, like, super wise old slow
Yoda.
And
the one thing I did see glimmers of, it felt like Empire Strikes Back. Even the way they had them when he, like, sits next to Yoda and that light of the fire, like when he was in his hut in Empire Strikes Back.
He had that great line. Like, he had this one line. It's such a throwaway line. And I just loved it. And he just said, I missed you. Like, oh, how I've missed you, Skywalker.
Yeah.
Like, just the idea. You know, you just love the idea of, like, at the end of the day, another theme amongst this is always friendship. And you know, these are friends that are doing these things together. And so
and
when
also,
you get to see two old friends have a little moment together, it's always nice.
Yoda being that Empire Strikes Back personality, like that Frank Oz, and I remember thinking, see, this is how you do silly.
Yes.
Not how you guys have been doing it the whole movie. This is how it's done in this universe. This is what Yoda does. This is his old kooky old man character.
That's why moments like the conversation between Poe and Hux, I was like, this isn't quite right.
Yeah.
And other humor moments, I was like, this is right.
That was.
Like, I know you've never seen
when that was
you've
happening.
Never seen Attack of the Clones or Revenge of the Sith, but the humor, the direct comparisons I can make is BB-8. If you look at BB-8's, BB-8 is is comedic relief in Force Awakens. He, you know, doing, you know, him bouncing around and move ball and all that stuff. And it's so kind of subtle
the
and
droids.
Fun.
The droids, yeah,
his
and
little lighter,
Chewy.
His little lighter thumbs up to Finn. Like he had these little fun comedic moments. BB-8 in Last Jedi is R2-D2 in the prequels, where there's no subtlety to it whatsoever. Him shooting the coins out to dismantle a security guard or him stealing the AT-ST. That's R2-D2 in Revenge of the Sith with his rocket jets and his oil thing. Like. They suddenly become they suddenly up the game. So they suddenly these tiny little droids become a little bit too powerful, a little bit too on the nose. The dial just gets turned a little too far, and it just becomes too cartoony.
Right.
As opposed to just having that little funny moment, it suddenly becomes just like okay, like it suddenly feels like you're watching the Clone Wars or the Rebels cartoon.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, there are moments. That's why I said that's what kept it. That's the flaw of the movie to me is moments where I didn't think all of those that you mentioned, but yeah. There are moments where I was
you pushed it a little bit. It comes, it becomes cumulative.
Yeah. I laughed my ass off when Rey knocked that rock down and those little people lost their cart.
I literally laughed my ass off. I think I frightened the theater how loud I laughed at that joke.
Yeah, that was
like,
perfect.
That was the one joke that nailed it for me. Like, nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say literally.
Yeah, that was an Ewok joke.
Yeah.
That's what I saw it as.
The one thing. That literally the one sin to this movie that is like unforgivable.
Yeah, this is what I want to hear because I don't know why you're both
sin,
so angry.
The one
probably I count on one hand that there's things in it. And
go ahead, you first, and then
I
want to hear.
But that literally kills the movie for me is that. You have an entire film in Force Awakens.
An entire
original trilogy. Let's set original trilogy aside.
Let's reset, We reset,
okay.
right?
All
right.
Force
Awakens. We reset.
Force Awakens, you have an entire film building up to a moment of here is Luke. Luke Skywalker, here is your lightsaber. We need you. Like, the world needs you. Us as cinema goers, as viewers, we need Luke Skywalker back.
Years and years of marketing and advertising
even
trailers.
I don't even care. Set that aside. Just the movie itself saying, Luke, we need you back. We need your twin son's optimism back. We need that hero back. The yearning and longing. That scene at the end of Force Awakens is so gorgeous and beautiful and powerful, and the music.
Like,
and it's
wow.
Like, it's
cannot
arguably
wait to
the
see
best
what happens.
Setup for the next film that's ever existed. And the only reason why I have to hold them as two parts of one whole is because it literally picks off where it left off.
Sure.
It's not like 3 years later. It's not.
It's
a
sequel.
No, I have a response to all
this,
but finish your
point.
The
fact that he slapsticky chucks that lightsaber over his shoulder.
I mean, that was Mark Hamill in an interview at Comic-Con.
Yes. F this movie.
Right.
Yep.
Like, this movie. If you don't, if that's going to be your response to my emotions, then why should I give you any more of my emotions?
Okay.
Why should I?
The personal end of that, sure. The other end is, why even make Force Awakens? Why even make it the way you did? Why are you getting rid of everything you set up? What
now,
a waste.
Retroactively, when I watch Force Awakens now, and I see that powerful scene, it ruins
it's
it.
It ruins
that
movie.
Scene is ruined.
Force Awakens
this makes
ruins this, is ruined because of Last Jedi.
Okay, I understand this reaction from people who have a vested emotional interest
in who Luke Skywalker is.
I don't care who Luke Skywalker is.
That's
or
who
isn't.
He is, and that's what for the last 40 years.
Except for the 30 years in between where he changed.
Multiple storytellers told him who he was. Oh, all of a sudden.
Not all of a sudden. He's been on a rock for 30 years.
All of a sudden, he's Mark Hamill in interviews. Like, are you shitting me?
I don't buy that at all. And here's the answer to your question.
All of a sudden, he's Mel Brooks in Spaceballs.
The point.
Are you kidding me?
The point of Force Awakens was to regain an audience's trust after the prequels so that then they were free to fuck with it.
Oh,
that's the point of Force Awakens.
And I took it.
Which is so great.
And I took it right on the chin. It's not great.
Oh, I loved it.
It's not
great. And everyone but you agrees with me.
That's not true.
Everyone but this little segment of people who have this.
Little segment. Are you kidding me?
We can. When we're done, I can pull up the numbers of the 90 to 95% of people who saw the movie this weekend that loved it.
I have one. I have one.
Sean, we have conversations every week about movies that are good that everyone says is good and they are not.
I have circumstantial evidence that goes against this. Every year,
Oh no, I know a number of people. I know your whole group didn't like it.
Goes to Star Wars. That also includes wives that could give two shits about Star Wars.
Right.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know if you're a swear. Sorry, I apologize.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Like, Addie Twigs changed all that.
I'm like, my wife could care less. She's like, she literally said to me before we go to this movie, I was like, I'm literally like, are you excited? She was like, I'm excited that you're excited. I like seeing you like happy about you know.
I also went with
excited.
Two
she was
people
like, I could
who
care
are
less.
Moderate fans.
And,
they were just like, okay.
And she felt like when it was over, she was almost like scared to say like, I hated that. But, you know, because she was I was going to be like, are you not?
No, I know there
thing,
are people.
The two friends that went with me were like, yeah, I like Star Wars. Sure. I'll go see it with you.
I think more of those casual
they
fans.
They both were kind of like, we didn't like the movie that you were really excited to see. And I was like, yeah, I know.
Like I think casual fans are not the ones that go online and go on a message boards and go on a Rotten Tomatoes audience, whatever it is.
Right.
They're not extremists. So they, like myself, I'm like, I don't have an extreme response to this. Like, so I'm not going to post nasty things about it because
I didn't
know.
I didn't even go on Facebook and was like, I don't like
your
it.
Own,
like,
you're
whatever.
Only going to get
online.
I you're going to
get
it
that much. I mean, where I'm just going to go off like, this is disgusting. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay. Because I kind of get it. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of get the whole reset. I get it. It's just, I thought it was objectively poorly done. I think there was some poor choices. And the Luke Skywalker throwing the lightsaber was a poor choice. And it negated.
I'm not even saying he has to take it. He can literally, like, even if he takes it, drops it, tosses it aside.
What,
it declares the theme of this movie. The theme of this movie
like that's what it felt like.
No, it's not a slapstick moment. It is a visual representation of the
Ryan Johnson should have directed Luke Skywalker. Mark Hamill as an actor to do so.
Listen.
Because he was directed to go,
I have an honest question. You don't think him throwing that over his shoulder is a comedic moment?
There's a bit of subversion in it.
And putting that up against what The Force Awakens is, it's a very bad choice.
No, the point of The Force Awakens was to set that up. The point of The Force Awakens was, come back in. Oh, do we have you? Now forget all that. This is him going, forget that.
Oh, yeah, they're going.
And I'm saying.
That was a bad choice. Was a bad choice.
And I am not. Okay, you made a point a minute ago that, yes, there's plenty of times that people like things we don't. Yes, that's true. I'm not trying to establish that anyone is wrong. This is art. It's subjective.
Absolutely.
There's no wrong or right. I'm just trying to say that it's got an A cinema score. That's a scientific poll.
Okay. This is the first time you ever brought that up, but go ahead. We've done 200 episodes, and this is the first time you brought up a scientific poll.
Because it's scientific polling. This is not like, on scientific polling, this movie's very, very popular. There is
that's
small.
Fine. That's fine.
Of course it is.
It is between.
Transformers 4 was popular.
No. I'm saying the percentage of people who saw this movie and feel the way you do exists, but I would say it is conservatively 5 to 20%.
There's literally no way in the world anybody can prove that. There's literally no way anybody can prove that.
Okay, then
can
I
anybody
say,
find the cinema score for Revenge of the Sith?
Yes, I have it.
Okay.
And it's an A-, admittedly.
See?
Because,
see?
Well, right, because an A- means eh. Anything like B+ means okay. B means not good. That's
okay,
the
but,
way that cinema scores
work. But saying
work.
Revenge of the Sith is an A- and you not seeing it, that's
no,
that's
okay.
A curve.
Put
like that is
no,
a hell
a
of
big
a curve.
Curve. All right, put the cinema
a
scores
to a-
aside.
Is a hell of a curve.
Put the cinema scores
the
aside for
a-.
A minute. I'm saying that there. Look, we can pull up articles afterwards. That this is part of the research I did this morning. Everything we have that indicates how audiences reacted, and everything that we have that indicates how critics reacted, suggests that it is a small percentage of people who feel the way that you do, and that's fine. You can feel that way, but you can't tell me that this was a mistake because most of the people watching it like it.
I can't. All I can
also,
do is I can't fight. I, who knows? I don't know anything about cinema. cinema scores, or and I don't go on Twitter and find out what anyone, because I don't care. Like,
Ultimately,
this is beside the point.
I didn't care what people thought about Return of the Jedi when I was 8. You know? Yeah. Like, so all I can take is, like I said, 4 years. Groups of us have been going to see Star Wars, and we every time we do it, we go out afterwards, out to eat, and we talk about this, and almost to a T, the opinions of things are across the board. Mm-hmm. Force Awakens included screaming matches of people that were like, oh, that's better than Return of the Jedi. And other people that were like, oh, you know, whatever. Like, just all across the board. Rogue One, same thing. You come down and some people are like, man, that might be better than Force Awakens. And other people are like, really? It's okay. Yeah. You know, like large.
But nobody said these are like the prequels.
Yes. Similarly.
Like, I don't feel like I'm crazy.
No.
Similarly with the prequels. I remember coming out of the prequels. We walked out of Phantom Menace going, that was pretty amazing. And then years later, we were like, nah, that was bad. I walked out of Attack of the Clones saying that was one of the best. Like, that's up there with the original trilogy. And then suddenly a year later, I'm like, oh, I was taking crazy pills. Like, that was awful. So who knows? My opinion of this may change. I will say this is legitimately the very first time since I've been going with friends and family. And when I say friends and family, we're talking 20 people. This isn't guys. This is 20.
That group of people, too, half of them you've been friends with since high school.
Yes. So I'm saying you have 20 people sitting there. And
no.
Across the board,
different types of people.
Hold on. I didn't even finish it. Across the board, everyone went, that was bad.
Okay.
And now you're going to tell me that represents 5% of the whole world? It's possible. It is possible.
But my take on what you were saying is that we talk about this all the time. I just think that people are okay with shit now. I really think that we are being trained to like bad films. I really do.
Okay,
really
but we still call shit when we see it. It's not as though everyone in the world loved Justice League.
We're not getting great. Like, we're starting to like kind of just go with the. I mean,
now it goes to the critical reaction, which is so rapturous.
But are we starting to just go with what everyone wants?
No,
see that happening.
Not in 93% of professional film critics. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, it's not as though average critic ratings have raised over the year.
Yeah.
Critics hate just as much as they've always had. And almost, you know, the vast, vast majority of critics say this is one of the best Star Wars movies.
I don't know what to say to that.
Because I'm telling you, and here's what, you know, yes, that is true. This is where circumstantial evidence breaks down because, like, a friend texted me as I was driving here and said, I loved it so much, I'm going to see it 10 times. And another friend messaged me on Saturday and said, that was probably my favorite Star Wars movie ever. That circumstantial evidence is tricky.
I see plenty of that online.
Right.
I see plenty of that, too.
Right.
Yeah, that's...
But all I'm saying is that it seems that most of the people who are the most upset are people with an emotional attachment to this mythology.
Yes,
and if
I
you
agree
take
with that.
That away, right. So the problems that you're having are more related to that than some notion of whether or not it's a good movie.
Probably. That's why I say
I'll give you half of that.
That's why I can only say my personal reaction to this specific recipe.
Yes.
Like the fact that you just different taste.
No, I think that's fine. And that's something that happens to both of us.
And I agree.
All
yeah.
the time. You know, what was I thinking?
Shape of Water. We just did Shape of Water.
Well, I mean, that was a thing where I gave it a 9 and you gave it a 7. I mean, that's a close reaction.
But that's, but you know what? There is a thing where, you love it. And, and your other film of the year, Anomalisa.
Yeah.
I was like, let's stick with Shape of Water.
Yeah.
Shape of Water.
I know I'm fucking nuts for loving Anomalisa as much as I do.
It's Shape of Water is a great film.
Yeah.
There was just certain things that I didn't like and Sean liked. Just elements.
Yeah.
You know,
choices. That make the difference between,
right.
I loved it and I liked it. Yeah.
And I thought that maybe some of those choices took it away from being a 9 or a 10.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But also, with this, I really, I'm emotionally invested in Star Wars. I want Star Wars to be great. But also, I mean, I'm going to get on my high horse and say some people are wrong. I think there are bad film choices and bad writing choices in this movie. I'm not.
Let's define bad. Because I think what you're saying is bad for what you want this to be.
Bad for if I was a studio producer.
Yes.
And I hired Rian Johnson to write a Star Wars script and he showed me what I saw in the theater, I'd go, come here. I go, what the what is this?
Oh, well, you talked about the lightsaber moment.
No, let's
not dwell on that. What else?
I would say the whole entire Finn and Rose story.
Oh,
is
I'm leaving.
Pointless.
All right. The podcast is canceled.
Eye,
the podcast
pointless.
Is canceled.
It's
oh my goodness.
Pointless.
We saw different movies. We just flat out saw different movies.
Sean, it's the Finn and Rose in the casino storyline is pointless.
Rose, I love with all of my heart.
Rose means nothing. Rose means nothing.
Finn and Rose.
Rose means nothing in the movie.
Escaping.
Oh,
with CGI
what do you mean?
Horses?
Means
she means. Nothing.
I love that.
Her character does nothing.
Oh my gosh.
Her character binds Finn to the Resistance. Finn was pinballing around for a movie and a half until Rose.
You know, that's interesting. People keep saying that Finn was deserting. He was not. He was actually going to get help. Did anybody hear that part?
No. He was taking the tracker somewhere else so that Rey would have no chance of getting near. Finn was like, Finn was making the decision, these guys are all dead and I'm not doing anything about it. I just want to save Rey.
But it had something to do with keeping Rey, making sure Rey was safe.
Because his investment was just in Rey. He didn't give two shits about the Resistance.
Let's not even. I mean, their whole storyline could have been cut from the movie, and it wouldn't have made a difference.
Okay, here's another point. Wait. Here's another thing I'll point out. Here's
matter of fact. Let's watch
and
a
I've,
cut
I've,
with
I've
them
seen
cut
other people,
from the film, and,
and
it would
I enjoyed it less
no
because I loved that whole storyline so much. What I love about Star Wars is going to a crazy place and weird stuff happens. I loved the planet. I loved the escape. It was great. That's what's good about Star Wars. Is hey, let's go to
you.
A,
that's what's good about Star Wars.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
That specific, once again, the design of the aliens and whatnot, just everything in that scene felt just not pleasing. It was just not a good taste.
Them riding a stampede, I mean, that was laughably bad.
I literally in the middle of the stampede was like, and it's bathroom time. Like
it was
and now it's
laughably bad.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
That was prequel. That was prequel.
That was
Obi-Wan riding that dragon in Revenge of the Sith.
That was Anakin really cool.
Riding on top of those whatever things with Padme.
In the field.
These are pulp adventure movies.
I get it. But there's...
This isn't Citizen Kane.
Who's saying it
no
should be?
No one's saying that.
But other movies have done... Other Star Wars movies have done aliens and creatures and stuff and done it more effectively.
Yeah.
That felt like the speeder bikes in Jedi.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Guys,
oh,
see you next week. I don't know. Sean.
I don't know. I don't know how anyone
tell
could.
Tell me
I,
how Finn and Rose had anything to do with that film.
Once again, Finn.
Rose didn't even do what she should have done, which was give her life for the rebellion. She did.
I mean, she happened to survive.
She saved them so they could kiss, so they could blow up Princess Leia with a huge cannon that Finn was trying to destroy. Their storyline is meaningless. Because Rose did not die, their storyline is meaningless.
You mean Finn, because Finn did not die. I mean, sorry, because Finn.
Either of them.
Here's
she gave the like thesis of the Resistance. We're not going to win by destroying things we hate. We're going to win by saving things we love.
Yes, which is a great line,
but
in a bad place.
But if Finn and Rose,
it's a good line, a good theme in a bad location.
Okay. Let's talk about
two people that fall in love and kiss who have been together 8 hours.
Yeah. Not even a half a day.
Or see any movie ever made. Like, we met, we went on an adventure, now we kiss.
And they're not all good.
Yeah, that doesn't make it good.
But having that storyline, that plot trope isn't a flaw in and of itself.
Here's another problem I have with the Finn and Rose storyline. You have Leia gets hurt, so she's taken out of the thing for a little bit, and we didn't even talk about Leia, Mary Poppins
moment.
Nope,
we didn't talk about...
Okay, but let me.
Oh boy.
So you have Laura Dern take over Hunger Games. Laura Dern.
Yeah. By the way, why does a general dress like she's at
Mon
a party?
Mon Mothma. You know, she's still in a robe too, and Leia's always wearing dresses.
Yeah, but she's also a princess.
True. But okay, hold on. So Laura Dern
takes
over.
But she still looks like
she has her
Laura
command.
Dern just
hold
seriously
on, let me
walked
get the word
in
out.
From a party from Fifth Element. Like, it's laughable.
You're gonna tell me that the Star Wars costumes had narrative dissonance?
Wait, you're derailing a thought.
Yes, please.
Okay. Laura Dern takes over command. And if she just, to her own commanders, in the privacy of this bridge, with her own people, she does not reveal her plan to her own people.
I don't disagree with that. That felt like
so
a little padding.
Poe and Finn
was a plot hole.
And Rose,
that was like a
Poe, Finn, and Rose go on this random tangent that literally does not need to happen.
Does not.
If she just goes, there's a planet right over there, and we're just going to go over to that planet in these lifeboats.
Well, yeah. Why was that a secret?
I can't really argue with that. I don't think it really affects my enjoyment of the film. But yeah, no, I don't disagree.
Good thing, because no one knew. Here's my biggest problem with Finn and Rose, and please can we stop talking about it because it's making me nauseous. It's good thing that Finn and Rose knew that Luke Skywalker was going to help, because if not, Finn and Rose would have been captured,
responsible
for the death of the rebellion.
Resistance.
I mean, I guess,
but we'll just believe what we want because they told us.
Why doesn't the Falcon take out the cannon?
Where did the Millennium Falcon go? They were there. Why weren't they fighting? Where was the Millennium Falcon? Where was Chewie?
I'm not going to argue that this is a movie with the tightest plot I've ever seen, but that doesn't mean I don't love it.
But you can't give it a 9.
Yes, I can. I just did.
No,
watch
as an objective film critic, you can't give it a 9 if it has terrible plot holes.
He can give it whatever he wants.
No,
I mean,
because plot,
I'm just saying,
because
plot
because
is not end all
there's
be all,
plenty
plot,
of movies
yeah.
with plot holes.
You're right. You're absolutely right. There's movies we love that
there's
are like,
plot holes
whatever.
All throughout Star Wars.
Yeah. Sure.
I just feel at the end of the day, you either connect with those emotional moments or you don't.
Yeah.
That might be.
I just think that if you don't connect with those emotional moments, you look at them as silly. And if you connect with them, you look at them as meaningful.
That might be it. There is some correlation.
There is some correlation between
who found them silly and not.
And there also is a correlation between Sean Love and bad love stories.
We've also, you guys are so mean.
Like,
but also, Sean.
Oh, Sean knows
like,
what I'm saying.
We were joking earlier that
like the Leia and Han bad love story.
Okay, also keep in mind, this movie came out how many days ago? So the vast majority of the people that have gone and seen it are the diehard fans.
Yeah.
Like, are the people that are going opening weekend are
I don't
a
know
large
about that. I don't know. There's
be,
so many people
have your
flocking
kids seen
just
it yet?
No, cuz I'm in charge of my children. Yeah.
But
like but there's
I'm saying
a ton
like,
of
my mother-in-law.
No, she's seen
every Star Wars movie. She will see this Star Wars movie.
I think
she doesn't go
well when
weekend.
you're over $200 million, that
that's
means that everybody who goes to movies ever is at this movie.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah. But even a Star Wars convention, even the annual Star Wars convention gets 150,000 people.
And that's the tiniest drop in the bucket of the number of people who saw this movie
worldwide. Yeah, absolutely. But I think a large I don't want to say diehard as in they dress up and they have posters. I'm saying the large percentage of the people that are seeing it this weekend are the people that care about it.
Well, that's what's really interesting. I mean, look, I don't that's the irony in this rage conversation is I don't care that much. Like, I'm like, this is one of the 150 movies I saw this year and I liked it a lot. It's very interesting to me that I can't come up with another example of a movie in a beloved property.
There's nothing like Star Wars.
Right.
There's nothing as popular as Star Wars.
No, that's true. But like, I can't come up with another big popcorn movie, whatever you want to call it, the Jurassic Park series, Marvel, Harry Potter, whatever, where, you know, nearly every working film critic said, wow, this was great. And this sizable chunk of the target audience was turned off. That seems very new and unique, and I'm interested in why that happened.
Yeah, it's funny you say target audience. I don't think it was. I really think to me this movie is saying, guess what? We don't need you anymore.
And well, that might be true.
No, I think it is. I really do think it is, and I'm okay with that.
I disagree. Yeah. I think Rian Johnson, I don't think that Rian Johnson was going to this film saying, you know, because he is us. He is a diehard Star Wars fan.
I don't know,
he's
man.
Much
I,
more of.
I'm not saying specifically Rian Johnson.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hold on. Let me at least finish the thought. I don't think J.J. Abrams or Rian Johnson. Yeah. I don't think either one of them is going to this or Disney. I don't think Disney's going like. We just need to get the kids. Who cares?
Oh,
no.
I think those conversations are happening. I think.
Why would they not want your money?
They do. That's why the people that are liking it are getting enough. They're getting enough to stick around.
Oh yeah, but I'm saying that. Yes. Yeah, I agree with that.
You see what
I agree
I'm saying?
That,
well, and you said yourself, even someone more angry than you are, is still going to buy that ticket two years from now. I mean, it's a captive audience. They're never
I'm
losing.
I'm still going to go see the next
right.
one.
Right. So I want to
see what happens.
So that might be the point.
After
Phantom Menace,
I went and saw Attack of the Clones because I thought, please, God, be better.
Yeah. Right.
Because hoping it would be
maybe
better.
That's to your point. There's no risk in pissing you off.
Hey, you know how
they're not losing anything.
Right,
it is more important that the 10-year-olds and 15-year-olds and 20-year-olds get hooked
and just
now.
Just because you don't connect with one chapter doesn't mean the whole story's bad.
Right.
I mean, and right now, this is what I see is happening between Force Awakens, Rogue One, and Last Jedi. It's what's happening to any television we binge now. It really is. It all I'm going to go back and say it started with Lost. And it's happening with Walking Dead right now.
Yeah.
People are giving up on Walking Dead because the season premiere, the mid-season finale, the mid-season premiere, and the season finale are the only good episodes for the last four seasons. And that's what they're doing with most shows. Most shows, the premiere is incredible, and then for three, four episodes, and I'm talking multiple shows, I've talked to multiple people, it's boring. They're just like, what is going on? And then mid-season premiere, by the way, the whole mid-season thing.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb.
They invented because that's what they want.
Yeah.
They know we're dumb. You know that, right? They know how to suck us in. So they're going to be like, whatever.
I disagree.
Why
that
is it
specifically
so cut
the
and dry
working
when
on
stuff
Star
like that
Wars,
is bad and stuff?
There's no
good.
Way that they're coming to this with anything but love and passion and hard work, and they're hoping everyone enjoys
but
it.
But the direction, someone is steering the ship.
Yes,
someone is saying
Kathleen Kennedy steering the overall ship with Rian Johnson,
and they're saying, let's do that. Let's not make Force Awakens, which is fine. I'm fine with that. Just make good film choices. Like, make good script choices.
And I would say
that's my
and
only.
I think a large number of people in the world watch this and say they did make good
because
decisions.
Because those – and my gripe is – this is good because I'm actually getting a pure thought here. Mm-hmm. I think it's because that stuff has worked in other films in the last decade. And what I'm saying is that's not this film. I don't think that their tropes of all these family, every all ages films, like the Marvel movies and Guardians of the Galaxy and Harry Potter, some of the things they're plucking from these franchises and putting them in Star Wars, it does not fit, and it's a bad choice.
I disagree that that's what happened here.
I think it's a bad choice.
I disagree that I don't in any way, shape, or form think that's how Rian Johnson approached this or Kathleen Kennedy.
I'm not sure. I mean, certainly
Rian
some
Johnson's
of the jokes,
sensibilities.
Maybe.
Are so like his artistic abilities are so much different than Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes,
like
definitely.
He's such a and that this is what ultimately it continues to bum me out. I like every single person involved. I like Rian Johnson. I love Kathleen Kennedy. I love all those actors. I love all those characters. I love everyone across the board that made this movie. And it bums me out that I did not like the movie they made. It honest to goodness feels like your friends made a movie and you're going to see your friend's movie. And if you don't like it, you're like, oh, man. Like you're pulling for them. And, I was pulling for Rian Johnson. I'm pulling for Mark
Absolutely.
Hamill's first leading role.
Sean, what did I say? How excited was I?
Oh, you were
that Rian Johnson, the director of Looper.
You were
I was like,
overjoyed.
I love his style. Yeah.
I'm not suggesting that you did not want to like this movie. Yeah. Of course you wanted.
I mean,
to like
dude,
it.
The
I,
other critique I hear a lot is that, people didn't like it because they walked in with their fan theories. To think that I walk into a Star Wars movie with fan theory. I didn't have theory
well,
of
that.
Whatever.
That is the true tiny fraction where people were like, I thought that Snoke was going to be revealed to be.
No,
that's
who cares?
Stupid.
I don't care.
I will say the only expectation.
The one thing.
The expectation that I walk.
Is it the
that,
same thing?
That I don't know. That frustrated me. And it it certainly feels deliberate and certainly doesn't bother some people as much as others. That, to me, is as disappointing an exit for Luke Skywalker as I could have possibly imagined. I have no idea if I said this going into the movie, like just talking with friends, if they'd have hired me and said, Chris, you write and direct the next Star Wars. Mm. I have no idea what I've done with Luke because he had the best trilogy, the best arc in a trilogy, arguably in all time. So I don't know how you go past Happily Ever After and tell something interesting. I don't envy that task.
Yeah.
But man, I just like two hours of grumpy Mark Hamill saying, no, I won't train you. Okay, I'll train you for a second. No, I won't train you. Get out of here. Don't follow me. Oh, come in here. Don't do this. And then suddenly showing up for this kind of battle for a few minutes and then evaporating was just the most whimper of a finale for Luke Skywalker, who is arguably one of the most important cinematic figures in all of world history. Like, that to me, he does carry a lot of weight. That character carries a tremendous amount of weight with them into the story. That's not just me personally. That just is what it is. That character carries that weight. And it's unfortunate, too, like I said, the fact that Force Awakens is essentially a movie that is all about setting up dominoes, and Last Jedi is coming in and just kicks over the whole effing thing. And it's just that to me is not a pleasing experience.
Right.
So who knows?
So this is where it just gets subjective, because I'm like, oh, cool. It's cool that they did that way.
To me, then I'm like, make a different movie.
Yeah.
Make a different
movie. I don't know why.
Like,
why would you do that? Why? What?
I guess I still want to be in the universe because the universe is great.
Yeah.
True. Don't do it with Luke.
That's what. Hey, you know who's absent is Missy Marino. Wanted to be here, but she was unable. She's competing in a singing competition tonight.
Awesome.
And best of luck to her. She texted me right away and said that it's like, if this is what you're going to do, just tell a brand new story and on a planet far away from everybody else.
Yeah,
that's an interesting reaction. And I think that, I mean, my thesis is that. You're right. Star Wars is like nothing else in terms of the way fans feel about it. And it has gotten so big that it is almost impossible to keep telling stories in a way that's going to please everybody.
Oh, absolutely.
And some people are going to be left behind at every step.
Yes.
And some people were here. And that's interesting. You could even call it a failure. But for me, I had a great time in there. I want to see it again. And you know, I liked it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Aaron.
And I also,
I mean,
like I
didn't,
said,
I didn't dislike, I didn't hate it.
Oh yeah. We haven't got to the number yet.
Yeah.
Haven't got to the numbers.
I thought the opening space battle, I was like, whoa, this is cool. I thought that was really fun.
What did you think of
the bombers that used gravity and space to make the bombs fall?
Yeah, see, there's plenty of plot holes. Let's not start landing up plot holes.
It's still cool. They could have been magnets.
Cool.
It could have, who knows? Yeah. It was still cool.
What did you... two things, and then let's rate it, because we've been talking for a while.
Sorry, it's a Star Wars episode.
Oh, yeah, I got to get the hell out of here. I got to go see Jumanji, guys. Let's
God
talk
bless
about
you.
The legacy
Godspeed.
Of the Jumanji.
Oh, man.
Anyway, did you like the... jump to light speed through the Imperial Destroyer.
That was rad.
That was really
good.
That
was rad.
Okay, cool.
Really great idea.
Cool. And the going silent when it happened
was
really,
awesome.
Really awesome.
My first thought, unfortunately, in that moment was, why didn't they do this 8 hours ago? Like, why doesn't everyone get off the lifeboats and send this one ship through?
Well, presumably because you want to save that ship if you can.
Yeah.
But
because that was what was almost left of their fleet.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And
does also the Rebellion no longer has a Starfleet?
No, like not at all.
They do not have.
Which is okay. Once again, at this point, then Force Awakens should have been that the Skywalker base successfully blows up their planet. If you're going to get rid of the fleet anyways, then Force Awakens, that Star Killer planet or whatever, should have blown up. They're whatever, the resistance base in that movie. I know Ryan Johnson can't go back and say, hey, JJ, change your movie for me.
Yeah.
But it's weird that it's like, you know, just two movies in a row, we're just whittling away at this resistance or whatever.
Yeah.
And the big question, you know, the big thing that we have not addressed at all
Is the Target commercial at the end of the movie?
Is
can we talk about the Target?
What Target commercial?
Can we talk about the Hallmark ornament commercial that it's at the end of the film?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't have a strong reaction to that. I felt like, I guess people are saying, like, these kids are for episodes 10, 11, and 12. And it's like, well, whatever.
Yeah, if you take a picture of the screen on your phone, it's a Walmart coupon. Did you know that?
No, of course. But you're getting at the big point. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Porgs. How do you feel about the porgs?
I, going in, thought they were going to be the thing that
funny
for me.
Same exact thing Chris is saying.
These guys are going to ruin this movie for me. I know it. But other things were so much worse.
Yep, I agree.
I was like, oh, these porgs are fine.
Oh, they're fine. They're fine. Yeah. And actually, they were fine.
They were fine.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that they just, like, showed up on the ship because the ship was sitting there. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, fine. And then Chewie was like, yeah, I'll keep him around. Yeah, because Chewie kind of liked, like, other thing, like, it made sense for Chewie to just be like, yeah, you can stay here.
Chewie was just like Ray's errand boy this movie.
Yeah, can we talk about how Chewie is a general?
And he's just running Ray around. Well, he gave up being a general when he joined Han to go back to smuggling.
Okay, but also, so Chewie's an Uber driver in this movie.
Yes, for Ray. Yeah.
I mean,
he has won huge galactic battles.
Oh, and speaking of, I have to. This is the only part of me that like has this little bit of fan outrage. It's like, yeah, that was no way to kill off Admiral Akbar. That was too much of a throwaway
line.
I was
too stunned by Mary Poppins flying through space.
Yes,
I couldn't even. I couldn't even acknowledge
that. Bothered
that.
You?
Oh, Sean,
dude,
what's the difference?
That was really bad.
That was really bad.
That was
bad effects.
That was
bad.
Like Sunday night's like Christmas special.
That
bad.
Was Sci-Fi Channel made for TV movie.
That was
bad.
So corny.
In what? That she could move? Like what? I don't. This
the
confuses
whole,
me.
The whole. Thi-
I thought that maybe it was a second too long.
That she didn't. It would have been one thing if she would use the Force to hold back space,
right?
Hold back an explosion.
Like to see her use the Force to maybe in any other way.
Yes, literally any other
but
way.
But she literally.
But to not instantly die when just floating in exposed space, and then that was just a bridge too far.
And then her, like, it was literally a vector cutout.
She looked like
she did not move.
My wife literally said in the middle of the scene, she looks like a Christmas ornament. She looks like an angel Christmas
she
ornament.
Did, it was a literal, like, they cut out and, like, pulled a string. Like, it was bad. It was not good.
What is your... I got to get out of here. Never mind. My No, it's like, why do you think I liked it so much?
Because Sean and I are very different. Because I think it's because I loved movies as a child. And I feel like that you didn't start really getting into film until high school and college.
That's true.
And I also think that, honestly, I think that even though you're a writer, I am more of a creative writer in a way where I've written film and I've written shorts and you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think you and I are different.
I literally think it's different tastes. Some people like chocolate cake. Some people like white cake.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I just think it comes down to taste.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to get all deep on our attributes.
That's why I don't say
that's fine.
But I really, I think that, like, I'm seeing it as a creative. I really am.
You know what I also
And I'm like,
out?
These are bad choices.
Well, but it's interesting to me that...
Like, if I was a film producer, which...
But it's interesting to me that you feel that way.
I could have taken that
path. That if that's your stance, that it's as not, a creative you have a problem, but as a critic, I don't.
Oh, I mean, even as on a critic end of it, I think that they were poor filmmaking choices. They were bad. They didn't fit the universe that the film
has
built up.
But that's not what... But the idea of what the Star Wars universe is or is kind of to the side of the criticism of a film.
How do you objectively criticize a Star Wars movie and not look at all of the other films that influenced it? You can't do that. You can't separate this from the old Star Wars films. You can.
You certainly
if your movie is about Leia and Luke Skywalker
and
Chewie, then you better follow the rules.
I don't care if it's space magic. The space magic became different space magic. It doesn't.
I disagree that Star Wars needs rules.
No,
it's
a strong
word.
But
it's
hard to articulate.
This is a chapter in one book. Yes. And so it's impossible to just rip a chapter out of a Harry Potter book and just go, let's just judge this chapter.
That gets at it because I think that...
Well, now you're talking Harry Potter. Now he gets it.
No. That
now
gets
he
at,
totally understands.
That gets at the critical thing because I think that when you're watching and reviewing 150 movies a year, no matter how many movies came before it, this is the movie I'm watching Tuesday. Yeah. It's a little bit more of a vacuum.
Harry Potter fans, because they tried to slickly grab Harry Potter fans, like, this is another Harry Potter universe movie, and you're going to give us all that money.
With Fantastic Beasts?
They didn't really fall for that, did they? Harry Potter fans didn't fall
Fantastic
for that.
Beasts did very well. It's not... You know, there are serious Harry Potter fans that don't care deeply about.
Did they follow the rules?
Well, Fantastic Beasts is like Rogue
but
One.
Did Fantastic Beasts, did they follow the rules, though? They kind of
did,
didn't they?
Yeah, it's pretty consistent.
See what I mean? They kind of followed the rules. There's rules to Harry Potter, isn't there?
Oh, no, there's absolutely not. Okay. Harry Potter is like on a Star Trek level of like, in this book, we have time travel. Yeah. In this book, we can, anything is rewritten every time.
No wonder why it's so bad.
Oh,
Harry
all right. Yeah, this
you don't
guy.
Like Harry
oh
Potter?
No, I think
he's,
Harry Potter.
No, he's
no,
just messing with
true.
Me.
I'm just
he's
messing,
messing
him.
With me.
I'm not into it.
Yeah, I got to get to.
I was really about to slit a throat.
I know why people like it. I'm like, I get it. It looks pretty awesome. I don't know. I don't get them into it.
All right. Well, all of that said, it's a Star Wars episode, everybody.
Yeah,
let's rate it and get out of here. I spoiled it earlier. I gave it a 9. I will tell you, it's not going to be in my, like Force Awakens, it's not going to be in my top 10 movies of the year. It is something I liked a lot and felt. If we're going to play the ranking game, which you brought up the good point of walking out of Attack of the Clones, you loved it. You really can't do that until 20 years has passed.
Exactly.
But
I asked Sean and Chris to rank the Star Wars universe.
That's a whole episode.
Yeah,
that we can do it another time.
This could be a good bonus episode.
I gave it a 9. Chris?
Man, I honest to goodness don't know like what number I would break this down to. I'll be nicer than I think I will. I know that Rian Johnson probably will never, you know, there's way too
forgive
many podcasts.
You. No.
There's way too many podcasts to listen to, so I doubt Rian Johnson will ever hear my voice saying this. But I apologize,
Rian Johnson.
Because I like you a lot, and I love
everyone.
I like
him.
And I
was excited.
I really, really wish I'd connected with this movie. I really do. And who knows? I may watch it again, and I may connect with it, and I may be eating crow, because I walked out of Force Awakens saying I'm never going to see that movie again. And I went back, and I said I was wrong.
I'm going to go see Last Jedi again, because I'm going to take my kids.
Arguably, I do not know if I will go to the theater to see this again. But I will say, like, there's good and bad. I just got to give it kind of middle of the road for me. I'd probably give it a 5 out of 10. Because I think like the effects are better than some of the prequels, I guess. You know, this to me, honest to goodness, felt like a baby step or two above the prequels for me. I'll give you the worst rating I can possibly give this, and this is the saddest rating. This is the first Star Wars movie in my life that A, I will not buy, and B, I will not buy the soundtrack to.
Wow.
And that's
a good point, too.
That bums me out that I literally don't want to watch it again.
Wow.
That bums me out.
I there were scenes in it for me that I really, really liked, so that's why I'm giving it a 6.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I really hope that Star Wars from here on out is not those characters and people you love?
Let's break them apart.
Let's kill them and evaporate them and destroy them. And, like, I don't need to take that tour.
Yeah.
Like, life is already
hard
enough.
I would hate it for it to feel like where they're just, like, slapping the word Star Wars on things, and it's not even Star Wars anymore.
It's like we watched Han die. We watched Luke evaporate. Carrie Fisher,
I don't know what's going to happen.
There's a chance we're going to get a funeral or something.
All the people that dying, why didn't you choose to kill her? I don't. Maybe because it was already done, right? Wasn't it already done?
Yeah,
he
would have had to really alter things to do anything about it at this point.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Who do you agree with? Let us know on Twitter.
Yeah.
At Sean Collier PGH, at Aaron Kleiber, that's KLEIBER.
At Truth Podcast.
At Truth
we'll
Podcast.
Find you there too.
At C Prexta.
No one is ever going to be able to type that Twitter in.
How do you think I feel?
KSTA.
Is Pittsburgh Dad's take on the film coming soon?
Not a chance in this world.
Okay, good.
yeah, we don't like. I don't know. I think we just because
you'll do a movie episode every now and then.
And we did last. We did on Force.
Yeah.
Awakens.
How did Kurt feel? Did Kurt see it?
Oh my god! I think Kurt was legitimately happy because he hated Force Awakens. So I think he was legitimately like he was the Emperor in Return of the Jedi. He was like, good. Yeah. Give in to your hatred. He like. Yeah. I think enjoyed the fact that he wasn't the only one this time.
Yeah. He usually hates everything.
Let's go watch Spaceballs and feel better about each other.
It's better than that.
Oh.